Welcome to the Wordy Girl Entertainment Podcast. I am your writer-in-chief, Rosalind Jackson. I am a lover of words, and that love led me to a passion for writing. And what's the next best thing to writing? Talking about writing. So kick back and join me for mind-blowing chats about writing, covering everything from screenplays to novels to poetry, from nonfiction books to songwriting, and much more. Today's guest is Ivy Box. Ivy Box is a certified go-get-hers who merges business, marketing, multimedia, entertainment, and philanthropy with purpose. A native of Fort Myers, Florida, Ivy Box is a first-generation Haitian American who first received national attention as the Quiet Storm castmate on BET's hit reality TV series College Hill Interns. During her time with BET, she was chosen to manage her own popular blog on BET.com. Ivy has years of experience working in the corporate, entertainment, and philanthropic industries and holds a bachelor's degree in business marketing, a master's degree in internet marketing, and a master's certificate in negotiation essentials. She is the chief executive officer of Voice the Movement, Inc., a registered 501c3 nonprofit organization that she founded. Her passion is to encourage and inspire those who aspire to inspire. Ivy Box is the author of the 365 Go Get Hers Guide and the 365 Go Get His Guide. She believes that the sky is not the limit, it's only the beginning. So I just introduced you through your bio, which sounds amazing. So tell us more. Are there any other accomplishments that couldn't fit on the bio?
I'm trying to remember the bio, actually. Of course, during the time of the bio, I think it mentions the 365 Go Get Hers Guide, the book that I came out with in January. And in June, I actually came out with the 365 Go Get His Guide, which is the male counterpart to the book.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so I did a little research on you and found that you are a singer and a rapper.
I'm not a singer and a rapper.
Okay.
Now, I worked in the music industry as a music executive. It was an indie major label. So it was an independent label that I worked as the marketing director for. But our artist was signed to like two other record labels. So Atlantic Records was the big record label. But, you know, just being a creative in general, I worked with a lot of producers. A lot of producers were my friends, you know, beat makers and stuff like that.
Okay.
So I just, and I always had the dream of writing for other artists like Trina, you know, because I grew up in Florida.
Okay.
So I'm a big, you know, Slip and Slide Trina fan, and I always wanted to write for her. So I used to, you know, write raps or whatever, and then my friends own the studio, so they let me use the studio for free. So I would go in there and I'd write raps and I'd lay them down. Then I started just writing music for myself, but it's more so for fun, you know?
Okay.
And we created a couple of songs that were like, I have a theme song, a Go Get Hers theme song, and then I did this other song called Calling Me. And then I was just like, well, let me put it out there. This was like years later after I recorded. I was just like, you know, the whole iTunes thing, whatever, you know, everything's so accessible. I was like, let me just put it out there. But I'm not like officially like a singer writer, but I can play one on TV.
Okay. Because I did notice that I saw the video on YouTube and I noticed it was like 5 years ago. So
yeah,
I thought.
And that came about because I had a friend who's into like, he does stage plays. And he's trying to turn one of his stage plays into a movie. Then another friend that directs videos and does independent films. And we were just talking about, this was before I wrote my book, but we were just talking about different things that I always wanted to do. And then I told him about my theme song because it was a precursor to the book. And then he was like, oh, have you ever thought about doing a video for this? He was like, I need to practice anyway, so why don't we do it? And then I was just like, okay, you know, and so I just gathered all my friends. Like that was my, one of my friends' home. That was his Bentley. And I got a bunch of friends from like either like some friends that I knew since high school, some of them from college. And I was just like, hey, we're doing a music video. We need some people. Like, they wrote the treatment and everything, and we just kind of made it happen.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Now, did you write the actual song, or did you say the... You wrote it? No, oh, okay.
I wrote the song. Somebody else wrote the hook, and then the girl that's singing it, C. Renee, she like kind of redid the hook a little bit. But I wrote all the lyrics to all the verses.
Okay. And do you still write music? Do you still write lyrics?
I do occasionally. Like, they usually kind of start, you know, like, since I was little, I've always done this. Like, even if I'm journaling, then I'd make it rhyme. Like, you know how they say, I'm single, by the way. So, you know, and they say that if you're looking for somebody, you need to write it down, like write exactly what you're looking for.
Right.
But me, instead of writing it down, I turned it into like this poem. So it was just like a natural instinct or, you know, just a thing that I do anyway. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That sounds pretty cool. Now, you were on the show College Hill Interns, which was a spinoff of the reality show College Hills, College Hill, which was a show about the day-to-day life of African-American students who attended historically Black colleges and universities. And this show, for those who don't know, was on BET, and it was executive produced by Tracy Edmonds of Edmonds Entertainment. So what was College Hill Interns all about?
Well, College Hill Interns, the way I like to describe it is less like a melanated version of like Real World meets Apprentice.
Okay.
In a, you know, kind of like a younger college, young early 20s version of it. But I know for me, that experience was awesome. Like, I wouldn't have thought it would be, because, you know, reality TV now, when you think about it, compared to back then, is totally different, in my opinion.
Okay.
Back then, it wasn't as... shall I say ratchet? It wasn't as, you know, and then the College Hill Interns was, like I said, a mixture of like college, Real World and The Apprentice. So we actually did real world things that we could actually put in our resume. So it really was an internship. Yes, they showed us like our personal journeys as well. But we had a lot of professional activities that we did that I still use on my resume.
Okay. What were some of those activities you guys did?
Well, putting on events and concerts and fundraisers. We worked with McDonald's. We worked with Toyota, with the Toyota Yaris. We did campaigns. We worked with Burrell Communications, which is an African-American, one of the largest African-American publishing companies or communication companies. We did an entire, you know, campaign with them. And it's like real world stuff. So we had to actually come up with a concept, which I'd like to brag that my group chose my concept. We did Club Yaris. So we turned the car into like a club for our campaign.
Oh, wow.
So we had to create the concept. We had to cast for the photo shoot. We had to find a photographer. We had to find a location. We had to get permits. We had to actually shoot the campaign. We had to choose the final creative. And then we had to present it in front of executives at Burrell.
Oh, wow. That's so exciting.
Yeah, that was huge, you know. we won, my team.
Oh, wow. Congratulations.
I'm proud of that moment.
You're like, of course.
Because and my background is in marketing. So I have an undergraduate in business marketing, and I have a master's degree in internet marketing. And so I'm able to utilize all that stuff. Right after I did College Hill, I went into in the music industry.
Okay.
So we worked with the artist, although he was signed to a major label, he had a very independent spirit. So a lot of that stuff that we did, like the fundraising and the concerts that we threw, while we were there, and that photo shoot, I had to use that in that next job. So
oh, wow.
I'm really appreciative of that entire experience.
Okay. Now, you were described as the Quiet Storm castmate. Why?
I think it's because I was very quiet on the show. Like, I didn't get into it with a lot of people. But I worked really hard. I probably had one incident with me and a girl in a phone booth, but me and her were cool. Like, before and right after, it just had a moment, cause it was a stressful environment. But, I think that's really why, because for most of the season I was very quiet, and that was very intentional because I was one of the oldest castmates on the show. And, I just felt like I had, like, once you got on the show, that's when reality hit. Like, you know, it's one thing, like, you're auditioning for a show, which I really thought it was an internship at first. When I first heard about it, I thought it was, like, a real, like, internship. I didn't even know it was a reality show. Oh, then come to find out it was an actual, like, reality show. And I'm like, okay, you're auditioning. And then you don't really know if you're going to make it. Then, you know, I made it past the interview process, and then I was selected as a cast member. And I didn't tell anybody, really, just, like, my immediate family knew. Mm-hmm. But when I actually, we taped in Chicago. So when I actually flew to Chicago, got off the plane, drove to, you know, they drove us to the car, I mean, to the house, and stepped into the house, and then, like, saw the cameras, and I was just like, oh, it just got real. So when the cameras were around, I kind of, like, shied away from the cameras, because I just started thinking about, like, back home, like, what if something happens, and, it, you know, I gotta, you know, I gotta try to work when I get back. I'm part of a sorority. What are they gonna say, you know, or whatever. But in retrospect, you know, I should have did a little bit more, but I'm kind of glad for the outcome.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Sounds like a great experience. Now you said you had your background is in marketing and things like that. Mm-hmm. Who are some of the people you look up to in the business world?
There's a lot, because I kind of, like, the top of the top, that if I had to, like my ideal career person would be Suzanne DePass.
Okay.
I'm just, like, a big Motown person, and I just kind of followed her career. I love all of her, because she dabbled in music, television, film.
Yes.
All kinds of stuff, you know? So, and that's me. I don't like to be confined into one, you know, area, and I've always had that issue. I used to think that I was weird, but, you know, nowadays, that's, like, the thing. You know, we're part of, like, the, what do you call it, the slash generation, like, multi-hyphenate. Everybody's a multi-hyphenate now, you know? You're not just one thing, and that was me back then. And I used to be like, I want to do all, like, I want to, you know, work in music. I want to work in television. I also want to work in corporate. I want to work in nonprofit. And, you know, there's ways to do it all. And so that's why she's really, like, I love Suzanne DePass and her entire story. And I don't think she gets as much recognition.
Yes.
Of course, I look at Oprah, her business acumen, some of the influencers that I follow now is like Gary Vaynerchuk and Karen Civil, and all of, in old school. I'm very old school. I like to look at the people that paved the way. I love, like, biographies and self-help books. So I'm always reading about all the people that kind of paved the way. So I kind of get my influences from some everywhere.
Okay. Now, let's get into this book. It's called the 365 Go Get Hers Guide. Yes. And you took the term go getter and made it your own by turning it into go get hers. What does that mean? What is a go get hers type of woman?
Well, go get hers. Hers stands for happiness, education, respect, success. It's what you want, when you want it, how to get it, make it happen. And what it is, after reading the book and you go through the back, to the back section, it'll have like a go get hers redefined. And the whole purpose of the book is to empower women and girls, but to also encourage them to define what happiness, education, respect, success is. And, happiness and education and respect, success is not literal. It's what it is. Like education, we talk about educating yourself mentally, physically, spiritually, financially, is not just about academics, you know.
Yes.
And happiness is, you got to define that for yourself. It's not about, you know, you got to find out what it is that make you happy, and that's the things that you got to do, and that's the things that you got to seek, and that's the things that you got to cultivate. Same thing with respect and success. That's a big thing, you know, like people, especially in this social media age, you hear about people having depression, and they're comparing themselves a lot with, you know, people on the internet.
Right.
You know, they're kind of comparing their chapter 2 to those people's chapter 22.
Exactly.
You know, and so I try to encourage people to define what success means to you, because not everybody that's successful wants to be, or think that they have to be Oprah or Beyonce or somebody like that. Sometimes just having a nice job, with a great salary, a husband and kids, that's success to them, you know? And right. Some people, they're a single mother and they're taking care of all of their kids, and their kids, you know, are fed every day. They have a place to lay their heads, you know, they go to school, they're educated. That's success to them as well. So it's all defined by yourself. And that's one of the things that I want to encourage people to do. Like, you determine what happiness, education, respect, success is, and what it means to you.
Yes. Okay. Mm-hmm. And you obviously are a go-getter because you wrote the book, obviously.
A certified go-getter.
And I can tell because the way you had actually approached me about the interview, mm-hmm. and I was like, I like that. She just reached out and was like, hey, are you doing interviews? And I was like, sure. So have you always been a go-getter?
I have, and it used to be confused with, like, me being either, like, stubborn or rebel, mm-hmm. but it's really just, like, it's something that you want to do, and you just kind of do it, you know, unapologetically, but with respect to others. That's my big thing, too. Like, you know, some people are really into that YOLO, but to them, it's just, it's living life and being kind of destructive, whether it's self-destructive or destructive of people around you, but it's really just, like, seeing something that you want and going after it. And it doesn't matter how long it takes you to. Like, some people right. feel like, okay, as soon as I have an idea and a goal, I got to make it happen right now or I'm a failure. No, it took me, like I said, I didn't say it here, but the concept of the book came about like almost 10 years ago, like right around the time, right after I did the show, College mm-hmm. Hill, and I did that way back in 2007.
Okay.
The book didn't really get completed the way it is now and put out there. I wrote it in 2017 and I released it in 2018. That's 10 years.
Oh, wow.
And I've had like a similar title idea for almost 10 years now. But the concept of the book would have been totally different if I came out with it when I first decided to come out with the book, when I first thought about coming out with the book. Back in 2007, I had just came from doing the show. Prior to that, right after college, I was working in corporate America. I had my mortgage broker license. I was throwing parties around, you know, town, like, you know, and then I started working with an artist that was in the area that was really popular. He had number one record on 106 and Park and all that stuff. And then I started working for his company. And then I quickly became, you know, the director of their entire marketing department. So then, you know, I'm like, this is like, it was like the boss chick before boss chicks were like in, you know, now this whole like boss chicks and all that stuff is really popular now. But right. back then, that really was what the book was going to be about, like just being a boss.
Okay.
And then throughout the years, going through some ups and downs, you know, financially with changes with my career and stuff like that, I just noticed that we as women, we go through so, and people in general, we go through so many things that, you know, we go through so many things and then we end up comparing ourselves to other people. And I just thought that wasn't right, you know? So I was like, maybe that should be more of the focus of mm-hmm. the book. It's not about being at the top of your game. It's more about being whole. You know,
right.
I want to play the whole game. I want to play the game where my cup is, it is full, and then mm-hmm. it runs over, and then whatever runs over is what I share with the world. Not that, you know, not a whole selfish thing where I'm just drinking all the juice myself.
So I'm the quintessential procrastinator. So I'm always looking for motivational advice on how to stop procrastinating. Mm-hmm. How can someone who may be a procrastinator like myself or somebody who's introverted, mm-hmm. How can they break out of that and become a go-getter?
Well, I have an entire chapter about procrastination because I am too. like I said, it really goes back to like your timeline and your own definition, you know, mm-hmm. like with the book, I was just like, yeah, I'm procrastinating on writing this book. Why I keep procrastinating on writing the book? But I think it just wasn't the time mm-hmm. because like I said, it would have been a totally different book. And when I really sat down and it was time for this book to come out, I really feel like I didn't write the book myself.
Oh,
you know, like I was sitting in the computer and mm-hmm. I'm like, girl, okay. Like, what is this that you're spewing? Like, it was, you know, it was higher, it was bigger than myself, you know, so it was tiny. But if you, in retrospect, if you look at it 10 years, you would think that's procrastination. Mm-hmm. But it's all about you defining, you writing down what you want to accomplish.
Yes.
And then you setting goals for yourself to accomplish them.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can create a timeline, but if you don't meet that deadline, mm-hmm. it's your deadline. You can change it.
That's true.
You can push it back.
I do that all the time. Oh, well, I didn't get that done. Let's push it on back.
Yep. Go ahead and push it on back and take that pressure off of you. You know,
right.
Like I like to tell people, I love Beyonce and Rihanna, but mm-hmm. we do not all have the same 24 hours as Beyonce and Rihanna.
Right.
Like they have a full staff, you know, they have a whole team that gets paid a lot of money to organize their business for them and do a lot of, they're hard workers.
Exactly.
For sure.
Yes.
But they have a whole team. So don't compare yourself to their success and their accomplishments. Like, you know, yours happened in the time that it's supposed to happen in your due time.
Right, right. And you also have an amazing chapter in your book about purpose. And mm-hmm. I always hear people saying that they don't know what they want to do.
Yeah.
So why do you think it's so hard for people to find their purpose? Like, what advice would you give them?
I think it's because everybody's trying to find that one true purpose in life. Like, this is the one thing that I was brought here to do or whatever. And I forgot what book it was, but I had an aha moment when I read one of the books. I forgot. I don't think it was Seed of the Soul. I forgot what it was. But it made me more aware of what purpose really is. You have a purpose within everything that you do. So it's not like this one be all end all thing that you're here to do on this earth. You mm-hmm. have a purpose in everything that you do. You have a purpose as a daughter. You have a purpose as a student. You have a purpose as a cousin, as a friend, as a businesswoman, or, you know, a stay at home mom. You have a purpose within every person and everything that you come across. And to me, that takes the pressure off of you, because mm-hmm. now you know, like, okay, it's not this one thing. It's omnipotent, I guess. So everybody that you come in contact with, you have a purpose within that, their life. You have a purpose within that situation, because it could be, you know, how they say you're some people, you know, for a season, mm-hmm. And some people, you know, for a lifetime. Your purpose might have been in that season, and that's it. You know, and to me, that just takes all the pressure off of you trying mm-hmm. to just figure out this one thing that you're supposed to be doing. And if you're not doing that one thing, then, you know, you're not fulfilling your life.
Right.
There's fulfillment in everything that there's fulfillment in everything that you do. And if there isn't fulfillment or purpose in everything that you're doing, then don't do that.
Right.
Now you're really wasting time.
That's true. So now let's talk about the men's version of the book that mm-hmm. you wrote. Why did you decide to address the men in the book? Let the people know what it's called. It's called the 365 Go Get His Guide.
Yes, the 365 Go Get His Guide. And it's really it's just the male version of the first book. And there was two reasons, right? One was that the guys would come and be like, oh, you know, I would want to read your book, but it's for girls, you know? So I'll just, you know, I'll get it from my mom and my sister or, you know, or whatever. And I'm like, no, these are universal principles. It really goes for male and females. It's not mm-hmm. really just about women. These are universal principles.
Right.
And so I was just like, you know what? Let me go ahead and do the guy version of the book. And plus, I realized with my analytics on Instagram that there were actually more guys that followed me than females by a small percentage, but it was more guys. So I'm just like, I do have a male target audience. And so I was like, you know what, let me do something for us both. I love women and I'm a woman, so I was speaking from a women's perspective. But like the tagline says at the end of the book, at the end of the day, we're kind of all looking for the same things, and these were universal principles. So I was just like, you know what, let me come out with the male version of it. That way there's no excuse from the guys. And plus,
right.
I can cater to my audience as well.
That's so funny how men will, if it's, if something is labeled for women, they won't touch it with a 10-foot pole. It's like, you're missing out on good information.
Yeah. And then there's slight changes in there as far as like some of the statistics, because in the first book, there's some statistics on there that's more targeted towards women. So, of course, those got changed in the male version of the book.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And what has been the response from men?
There's been a good response because, like we're all kind of seeking the same thing. There's a lot of men that are feeling those same pressures. There's a lot of men that are saying that they're depressed and, you know, mentally they're not feeling encouraged. They're feeling like they're procrastinating, and they want to be empowered. There's a lot of women empowerment events, but there isn't as many male empowerment events.
That's true.
And so we're all kind of seeking the same thing. And I always felt like, if you're going to nurture one aspect, you got to nurture the other. And, we're really one, the yin and the yang. We're one. So if you're going to nurture one, you can't have all these like queens and then, you don't have no kings.
Right.
You got a bunch of princes, that ain't going to work. So you have kings and some queens. And I do that too with my nonprofit. We do like this youth empowerment workshop. And the first one was, it's fearless. It's flawless. It was called Flawless Girls Empowerment Workshop.
Okay.
And then the following year, I was like, I need to bring the guys in on here. So we did fearless. So I have fearless and flawless. And then we do like a joint workshop. And then we kind of every year we'll change it. So we'll do an all girls, and then we'll do a joint boys and girls. Then we'll do all boys.
Okay.
And then we'll start the rotation all over again. So I never try to leave the guys. The guys out.
Okay. Now, have you had any opposition from men coming at you with the notion of, you're a woman, you can't tell us anything about how to be a man?
Yeah. No, I haven't actually, because it's universal principles, and I'm not telling you how to be a man at
all.
I'm just, I'm just showing you how to be a go get 'em human, a go get 'em human, and it's a guide. It's a self-help guide. It's a self-help guide for myself too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's something that I can reference whenever we talk about money matters, that's universal. Like when it just tells you things that you kind of wish you knew back in the day about credit and about, managing money, and ideas to grow your money. Those are universal principles. Stuff about setting a strong foundation. That's universal principle. So in the book, I don't mention, I really, in the first book, only when I say go get hers, that I'm talking about women. I don't talk about race. So it really is a universal message for men and women. So I haven't gotten any backlash.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Now, you said it took you about a year to write the first book?
Oh, no.
Nope.
It took me 10 years to sit down and say, girl, write this book, and less than 10 days to finish writing the book.
Oh, wow.
Yes, less than. I should do a workshop. But
yes.
It took me less than, because I like sat down and I buckled down. I was just like, I'm writing. Like I said, it didn't come from me. So I had this time between contract work. And I was just like, okay, let me go ahead and sit down and write this book. So I would just knock out different chapters. I would set goals like, okay, I'm going to make sure I finish these chapters this day. And then just keep going until I finish the book. And then I sent it off to an editor to review. And then we had that back and forth process. But to sit down and write the book, it was less than 10 days.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. And so did you already have it, as far as your process, was it outlined, or how did you put it together?
And that's one of the reasons I was procrastinating, because those 10 years, and I shouldn't say like, okay, with 10, the 10 years, it wasn't like I wasn't doing anything, right?
Right.
It was like 1 year to try to encourage me to do it. I probably was like 2010 or 2011. I had somebody design like a rough draft cover so that I can stare at the cover and be like, okay, Ivy, this is the cover. So like put the words in. And like whenever I would hear certain quotes and stuff like that, I was always writing them down. And I was reading a lot of self-help books and going to workshops and seminars and taking notes and stuff like that. So that was actually preparation phase, that was me preparing to write this book without me even knowing it.
Oh, okay.
So for those, I guess those 10 years, that it was just maybe God preparing me, for the time of writing this book. And then I just kind of sat down and was like, okay, I'm gonna write these chapters this day. And then I just, wrote it and it was done.
Okay. And did you have the same writing timeline for the Go Get His book?
Yeah, that was shorter and that was easier because it is some of the same content. Mm-hmm. It's just that I had to kind of go in there and like change up some of the wording, change up some of the statistics, but that was easier because everything was already kind of set.
Pretty much out of blueprint.
Yeah, it was pretty much that. Yeah.
Okay. And do you write any other type of books or different genres or anything like that?
Yeah. I actually had some, like 10 years ago when I decided to write this book, I had some ideas for some other titles. And so I do want to write those titles. And then with the Go Get Hers brand, I do want to start licensing it out. Like, I really want the grand scheme of things, and I'm putting it out there in the atmosphere because you never know who's going to hear it.
That's right.
Like, I'm looking to do something like Chicken Noodle Soup for the Soul and the Four Dummies book with the Go Get Hers brand. So it's like the Go Get Hers Guide, and these are probably like smaller books. Mm-hmm. The Go Get Hers Guide to Marketing, the Go Get Hers Guide to, you know, whatever.
Oh, that sounds amazing.
Yeah, so that's like the goal. So any agents out there, literary agents that want to help us out?
Call her.
But the other two books, I do want to write that myself. They're in the same realm of self-help. Mm-hmm. And then one of them is about my experience in the entertainment industry as well.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. That sounds pretty cool. And so overall, what advice would you give someone who wants to write a book, whether it be in the same genre as yours, as self-help or motivation or whatever type of book they want to write? What would be your advice?
My advice to them is to just write it. Just start writing. Like, don't think about the grammar. Don't think about, you know, what other people are going to think. Just start writing it down. And because that's really, I feel like, the hardest part, especially nowadays with you being able to self-publish, being able to, like, outsource graphic designers, you know, and you can hire editors at a whim these days. Like, it's just writing it. Like, once you start writing it, then you can organize it later. But just write it.
Yes. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so what's next for you? I know you mentioned possibly doing workshops and things like that. And you have a couple other book ideas in mind. But overall, like, do you have any big projects that you're going to be working on next or you want to work on next?
Yes. I actually want to. Well, I've been working on the treatment for the movie, the film version. Girl, you know, I'm extra. So, but I've always, this is one of the things that's always been on my little list of things to do is just to see if I could do it is, you know, writing a treatment for it. And it's unique because, like, you know, a lot of people are like, how can you turn that? It's a self-help guide. And I was like, have you seen these other movies that they turn into? Like, that's the same way, you know, like, it's the same thing. I'm really interested to see like where that project goes. Mm-hmm. So I'm working on that, and of course, doing more with the Go Get Hers brand and coming out with those other books and growing that into like a lifestyle brand, and then doing more with my nonprofit Voice the Movement because it started in 2014, I think. Yeah, so we're coming up on our fifth year. So we're doing our fifth in January. 2019 would be the fifth year. Oh, and in January, it'll be our fifth big youth empowerment workshop. So that's like our big signature event.
Okay.
So I'm looking forward to that. And then the rest is just like my motto is the sky is not the limit. It's only the beginning. So I'm open to all types of opportunities.
Well, that all sounds amazing. I can't wait to see, you know, all of that come into fruition.
I need you, girl.
I'll be keeping my eye out.
Send some prayers up, too.
I will. So tell the people where they can find the book and how they can find you.
Well, the book is available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. Just type in the 365 Go Get Hers Guide or the 365 Go Get His Guide. Plus, you can find more information on my website. It's www.missivybox.com. That's MSIVYBOX.com. Box like mailbox people. That's my real last name. and I'm Miss Ivy Box on all social media platforms as well.
Okay. And is that M-S or M-I-S-S?
Yes. M-S.
Oh, Okay.
I didn't want to put M-I-S-S because that's single. You know, in case I got married, you know. Now, I didn't want to put M-R-S because I was not married.
Right.
When I came up with a dope age. So M-S is safe.
That's pretty cool. Well, thank you so much. I've learned so much from just talking to you for this short period of time. It's like you have a lot of amazing stuff going on.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. And I really, really appreciate you taking the time to, because I just hit you. That's what I do. I hit people up in their DMs, you know. They're either going to say yes or they're going to say no, you know.
Right, exactly. And I'm just now starting to do the same thing with this podcast. Mm-hmm. So I have to find people to interview. And so I have to kind of step out of my box and approach mm-hmm. people and say, hey, I'm doing this podcast. I'd love to have you on the show. So, mm-hmm.
yep. And they could say no, but that no right. could be temporarily. It could be no right now, and then later they're like, "Girl, I see her podcast is growing. I see it, you know."
Exactly.
Let me get on this podcast.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Hint, hint. Shonda Rhimes. I'm gonna need you.
Oh no, that would be good. It's already done.
Right.
Yeah, it's already done. You put it out there, so it's already done.
That's right. Well, thank you again so much. And I would love to talk to you again when you have your other projects up and running.
Oh, for sure. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thanks for taking the time to tune in to the Wordy Girl Entertainment Podcast. Don't forget to check out my blog at www.wordygirlent.com. That's WordyGirlent.com. You can also find me on Instagram and Twitter at WordyGirlENT and on Facebook at www.facebook.com/WordyGirlENT. And always remember, it all begins with a single word. So what are you waiting for? Go write.